Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. And, you know, this is quite an experience. And I'm enjoying this. There's a little bit of work to it, but I am enjoying it. Really am. And I'm hearing from people how much they enjoy it. So please be sure, if you enjoy this, that you drop me a note. Send me an email, message, text, something. Carrier pigeon. No matter. Drive to North Dakota and come see us and come see the buffalo and them, you know, the antelope and the elk and the deer and the mules and all the rest of it. And the pelicans. But anyways, we want to know and we want to be a blessing to you. All those of you that are in another nation of the world and you would like to see this done in your own language, give me a call. I can help you do it. As a matter of fact, I want to help you do it, but I don't want to help you spammers.
Amen.
I've been saying this stuff, and today a guy sent me a thing. He's from Africa, and I want you to be, help me do the ministry. And he's nothing but a spammer.
Mm-hmm.
And I called him one.
And what was his response?
Zero. Anyways, let's pray the prayer of salvation, and we'll get into the Word of God.
Opening prayer.
Let's hit a triple and go to third base. All right, here we go. Who's on first? I don't know. No, he's on second. Father, I open my spirit, soul, and body to be led by you today so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, so that I will be rooted and I will be grounded in love. And I will be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, width, length, depth, height, circumference, quadrangle. So I will know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Lift your hands and just say, fill me with all your fullness, Jesus.
Fill me with all your fullness.
Wait, that's not a denomination. That's not a church. That's not a religious organization. That's the spoke. Holy Spirit of God filling every part of you. And he'll even help you talk right. Even though I don't seem to be able to. Here we go. Three. 2 Chronicles, chapter 6. Oh, yes. Thank you for writing that in, love. If you have a question about any of this stuff that we're teaching and we're reading, and you might say, man, I'm missing what you're saying there, Pastor. Send me a question, honestly. Because here's what happens. Then when you ask that question, then somebody else is already asking, but they don't want to ask.
Yeah.
And it helps them, and it answers a question for a whole bunch of people. Oh, goodness. I don't know whether I just got talk or preach on me tonight. I might have treach, don't worry about it. Solomon is dedicating the temple. What an amazing thing for a young man appointed by God. And God's going to bless him. Here we go.
Amen.
Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. You know, there's a guy that built the Noah's Ark. Why hasn't there been somebody to build Solomon? And this is Solomon's speech upon the completion of the work. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel, while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has fulfilled with his hands what he spoke with his mouth." God has hands and God has a mouth. "To my father David, saying, since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe in Israel which to build a house, that my name might be there, or did I choose any man to rule over my people Israel. Yet I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name may be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. The Lord said to my father David, whereas it is in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well in that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son, who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name." So the Lord has fulfilled his word, which he spoke, and I have fulfilled the position of my father David, and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised, and I have built the temple for the name of the God of Israel. And there I have put the ark, put. I just don't like the word put. One of you find me a better word than put. I looked in 17 translations and all of them have the word put. The English language has got to have a better word than put.
For the Ark of the Covenant, yes.
This is the Ark of the Covenant of God Almighty. I even went to the synonyms. Here we go. Send it to me. We're a powerful body of Christ here. Verse 12. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. For Solomon had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And he stood on it, knelt down on his knees before all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. I mean, you talk about pomp and circumstance.
Yeah.
And he said, "Lord God of Israel, there is no other God in heaven or on earth like you, which keep your covenant and your mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts." And it's still true today, guys. "You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day." Now think about this. People commit themselves to organizations and denominations and just stop it. Well, I guess it's still necessary. Dedicate yourself to God.
Amen.
Find out what this book says, no matter what those men say. It's when you start trusting the men rather than this book that you start getting a religious indoctrination that confuses you.
Yeah.
And you'll be prejudiced against that group of Christians or that group or whatever. There's no room for prejudice here. Does anybody know why I'm preaching these set of verses? Let me have another drink of coffee. Verse 16. "Therefore, the Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a son sit before me on the throne of Israel. Only if your sons take heed to their way that they walk in my laws, you walk before me. And now, O Lord God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David. Shall God indeed dwell with men on the earth? Behold heaven, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? And if you think about it, they got gates of jasper. Or no, the gates are pearls, right? Walls of jasper.
Yeah.
When was this last time you saw a wall of jasper?
Never.
I don't think I ever have either. And it's like, how can you bring God down and stuff him inside a little building that's 100 feet tall? And yet you and I walk in there and go, oh my God. And it's all overlaid in gold. God doesn't have a problem with all that. Man does.
Yeah.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's time to read.
It is time to read.
Nineteen. You regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you, that your eyes may open toward this temple day and night, toward the place where you said you would put your name, that you may hear the prayer which your servants make toward this place. And may you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive.
Wow.
Now, Second Corinthians 6, God said, I'm going to make my temple in you. You.
Amen.
I'll be your God and you'll be my people. 22. If anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in the temple, then hear from heaven and act and judge your servants bringing retribution on the wicked by bringing his way on his own head and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. Or if your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you in return and confess your name and pray and make supplication before you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave them and their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sins because you afflict them. They're being afflicted because they know the way and they choose to go the wrong way continually and not turn from that wrong way. God ain't going to punish anybody that's working diligently to walk with him.
Well, their own sin brings it upon themselves. He doesn't even have to do anything.
Do you know how easy it would be to preach right now?
Yeah.
27. Then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there is famine in the land, pestilence, blight, mildew, locusts, grasshoppers, when their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness is there, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people, Israel, each one knows his own burden and his own grief and spreads out his own hands to this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive and give to everyone according to all his ways whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of men, that they may fear you to walk in your ways as long as they live in the land which you gave to their fathers. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for the sake of your great name. Look at that. He's come from a far country for the sake of your great name. And I say that over every illegal immigrant that's coming in right now. You don't know it, but you've come so you can be a born-again, spirit-filled Christian.
Amen.
And I call everyone of you to get born again and be on the side of righteousness, not the Democrats or the Republicans.
Yeah.
I will drink some coffee to that. See how much fun it is to read the Bible? It's a blast. Oh, where am I at?
32.
No, yeah. But it's come from a far country for the sake of your great name. I really like that. And your mighty hand and your outstretched arm when they come and pray in this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. And do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. I mean, think about it. He's opening up the gospel to the Gentiles right there. When your people go out to battle against their enemies, wherever you send them, and when they pray to your toward the city that you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy and take them captive to a land far or near. Yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent and make supplication to you, repent. They came to themselves, they repented, they made supplication, saying, we have sinned and we have done wrong and we committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their captivity, where they've been carried away captive, and pray toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and toward the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. Forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open and let your ears be attentive to the prayer made in this place. Therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Let your saints rejoice in goodness. Now listen, this is Solomon, a long time before the Catholic Church, calling the folks saints.
Right. Yeah.
It would behoove you to study the word saint. And it's real simple. BibleGateway.com, search the word saint. And it'll show you every time in the Bible the word saint is used. Believe what the Bible says about saints, not some religious indoctrination. 42. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember the mercies of your servant David. Chapter 7. Oh, my goodness. It took me that long to read that one chapter.
That was a long chapter, though. It's amazing how the prayers are so similar. You just have to keep saying the same thing over.
Well, and if you think about it, I know I say that all the time, and I know you guys are thinking about it. Please forgive my illustrative preacher contemplation. But if you think about it, as you think about it,
there you go.
They had to do these continual repetitive prayers.
Uh-huh.
Like the Day of Atonement, they were all going to sin, like Solomon said, and they will all sin.
Yeah.
So when they came before the God of heaven and they brought their sacrifice, the priest didn't examine them, the priest examined the sacrifice. But they had a specific prayer they had to pray. And they stood before that priest saying, and this year I'm going to make it a whole month before I sin. Because now throughout the rest of that year after they had sinned. Now they're looking for the Day of Atonement, saying, oh my God, I'll take another bull, please. Because there was nothing else for them to do. All right. Chapter 7, verse 1. This is probably one of the most powerful chapters in the whole Bible right here. And this is the chapter that most Christians in America quote the verse from, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And yet, you can't separate 7:14 from 7:1. Watch this. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. Can you imagine if you had sin in your life on that day?
Wow.
It's like it says about Belteshazzar, and the joints of his loins were loosened.
Yeah.
And it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. These aren't just words. This happened. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. It doesn't say they didn't get the doors open. It says they couldn't go into the glory. It was so thick. Well, glory, one of the words of glory is thickness. Anyways. 3, when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and how the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their face to the ground on the pavement. He had a paving truck, and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls.
Wow.
120,000 sheep. Do you know how big of a field you got to have for 120,000 sheep?
Oh, my goodness. And how long it had to take to do that. I mean, no wonder their feast lasts for weeks.
So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God, and the priest attended their services. The Levites also with the instruments of the music of the Lord, which David had made to praise the Lord, saying, his mercy endures forever. Whenever David offered, what? Whenever David had offered praise by their ministry, the priests sounded trumpets opposite them while all Israel stood. Furthermore, Solomon consecrated the middle of the court. That was just the holy place. In front of the house of the Lord, for there is, he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offering, because of the bronze altar which Solomon made was not able to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat. At that time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him in a very great assembly, from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. On the 8th day, they held a sacred assembly, for they observed the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. Look at this. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful, glad of heart, having gained 15 pounds from all the food they ate. But they didn't have a waistband in it. They just loosened up the belt around their robe. Lord, glad of heart for the good that the Lord had done. For David, for Solomon, for his people Israel. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. God appears to Solomon a second time. Verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. 13. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, remember, he's answering Solomon now.
Yeah.
Who are called by my name, even that foreigner who came because of his great name, will humble themselves, not ask him to humble them, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now, don't stop. That's where people stop. Now, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I have covenanted with David your father. You made a covenant. You shall not fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. That means even after all of the wicked kings of Israel and Judah. God kept his promise 500 years later to David. And Jesus is coming back to sit on David's throne and will reign for 1,000 years right here on this earth. I don't care about your eschatology. Open this book and see what this book says. He's going to reign on this earth, and you and I are going to be with him.
Amen.
Woo! 17, as for you, if you walk before me as your father David, let's see, 18, I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I've set before you, look at this one, and go at and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from the land which I've given them, and this house which I sanctified for my name, I'll cast out of my sight. And I'll make it a proverb and a byword among all the peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and this house? And they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he's brought all this calamity on them.
And they should be ashamed at that
And point. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Psalm 136. My favorite psalm on this last quarter of this page. I don't know how you can say you have a favorite psalm. There's so many of them. I mean, like I like 103, but I like 23 and 91. I like 119. I like 136. I like 127.
122.
122. I like that one too. And 150 and 140 and 145. I like Psalm 2 and Psalm 1. Psalm 139 is absolutely amazing.
And long.
Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Everybody say it with me. For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him alone who does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom, no, to him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who gave you a job hauling the water that you drill a hole and suck up. Did you get it? Earth above the water and then you drill a hole and suck up the water. That was for the oil field people.
Oh. Okay. So all the oil guys got me.
I used to think it's really interesting because they drill a well and water and gas and oil comes out and we take the water and we put it right back down in the earth. And where does it go? Somebody was pretty smart. I'm going to put the water back in the ground so I can go back over there and haul it back out, and that guy's going to pay me for it. Yes, we need more water haulers in North Dakota. Back to the Bible. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sunlight to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. And the moon and stars lights, because they're lights, to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. And little Johnny said, look, it's a whale. And his mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his knucklehead army in the sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down the great kings, for his mercy endures forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever. And raised us from our enemies, rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh. Isn't that something? Yeah. And they're starving people.
And he has given the food
to all flesh. Guys, I even have an underline, who gives food to all flesh. And that just hit me. There should be no starvation.
There should be no starvation, no.
Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever.
Thank you, Lord.
My. Now, I want you to think about this with me. Solomon fails God horrendously and goes against him and ends up wicked because he chased all the wild women. No, he wanted to have peace, so he married and made alliances and made wives, and he had 300 wives and 700 concubines. That's just a woman that gives him a baby.
My goodness.
No, do not do this. Walk with God and trust in God, and he'll lead you. But if you're sitting in a place right now in your life and you say, yeah, but Pastor, I've messed up my whole life. Well, that's true, but you've not messed it up worse than the Apostle Paul, most of you.
Amen.
Killing Christians in the name of God. And Paul said, I have wronged no one. Why? Because redemption happened. You've been redeemed, bought back. And at that moment, we're getting to pray, ready to pray right now. At that moment, all of their sins are thrown into the sea of his forgetfulness. And he gives you Jesus' righteousness. Now, there's a bunch of people that don't understand that they received Jesus' righteousness, and therefore they don't ever have to sin again. But until you study it and get the revelation of Jesus' righteousness, you're going to keep on sinning and then feel bad about it. And you should. But The answer is revelation, not religious indoctrination, not another Bible study, another Bible college, or anything else. Get the revelation of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I got, I think I got 12 messages on it, which would end up being about 18 hours of teaching. It would be a blessing to you, and I'll be glad to send it to you. Let's pray the prayer of salvation so that everybody in the sound of my voice, whether today live or in the future, you'll be right with God. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every
day. And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe
you. You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I receive it.
And I receive it.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Put your hands out like this and say, and I receive you into my life.
And I receive you into my
life. All of your love and mercy.
All of your love and
mercy. All of your grace and your righteousness.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my being.
Filling every part of my being.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of
pray
God.
In my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and live
language.
A successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
A believer every day.
As a believer every
I
day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty
amen.
Name.
Amen. And amen. Welcome to the kingdom. Isn't it awesome? And hey, listen, I've been a believer now. I'm 59 years old. And I was born again when I was 12 and 11 and 10 and 9 and 8 and 7, whenever the first time I ran down to my mom and dad's bed and said, is the Antichrist here? You know, anyways. But to this day, I still experience that love, that joy, that peace, that excitement of God. And I know you will too. And I know you are. What happened, Pastor? Jesus came in. God Almighty just came in, and he brought with him all of his love, all of his mercy, all of his grace, and all of his righteousness. And because he did, all of the has been now purged out of your life, all of it. And you might say,
hallelujah.
You might say, yeah, but wait a minute. No, see, it's when we try to do it in our own effort that we get all messed up. You can't be right enough for God to love you in your own strength.
In your own.
But as soon as you receive Jesus' righteousness, you wrap his righteous robe around you, and the Father looks at you and he says, white as snow. He sees Jesus, your elder brother. He adopts you into the family. You are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. And you read the New Testament about heir and inheritance, and you have an inheritance that fades not away and is incorruptible. It's the perfect seed of Almighty God. And you literally become a partaker of his divine nature. You're not God. You're his child. I fought this for years myself because of religion. But there ain't no fighting no more. Welcome to the family of God. Your place for the rest of your life is to learn to walk with the Father. Wake up every morning and say, Father, help me walk with you. That's your place. My place in your life is I've been down the road farther than you are, and I'm following somebody that's way down the road following me farther than me, and they're following somebody farther than them. And what does that give us? The wisdom of the 80-year-old and the revelation value that you, the newborn believer, can have all that great wisdom. And join us every night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain, 5 Pacific, all you out in the Pacific, in the water, glad to have you. Come be a part of us. To all our friends around the world, wherever you may be, 42 nations. It's amazing. Over 42 is a better way to say it. And I've not done anything. I've never advertised or nothing. It's just, and glory be to God. We love you. Communicate with us. We want to be a blessing to you. Send me an email, honestly, I'm not going to say stop sending me an email until you guys make me so busy that I say, I'll never say it. Send me an email. I'll find somebody to help you. If you're a man, you'll get a man. If you're a woman, you'll have a woman. They'll help you and we'll be a blessing to you. Till we see you again tomorrow morning, this is what we have to say. Don't you just love the word of God? It's amazing.
Yeah, amen.
We love you.
We love you.
And God loves
you.
And
Jesus is Lord.
He is Lord. See you soon. Tomorrow morning, same time, same station. In Jesus' name. Or I'll meet you in the air. I'll be like, wow. And then everybody's just show up where I'm at as on our trip to heaven. I want to go see the Milky Way on the way. Anyways, talk to you soon. Jesus' mighty name. Faithful you are.